Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Great. Thanks, Colin. It was so wonderful to be here. This is my first time at St. Bees, but I have a few links. So two of my cousins, Matthew and Marcus Hockley, used to go here a long time ago. Some of you may remember them. And it's amazing. Colin, we talked about new wine earlier. New wine was very significant in my sort of faith journey, I suppose. I used to go when I was about 15, 16, and I remember being, the worship I was particularly excited by, and actually there was this really cool drummer that everyone wanted to be like, who had long blonde hair and earrings, and that was Colin Brooks. I don't know if you knew that. You've lost the locks. Anyway, it's so good to be here, and Jill and I, we were so welcomed by you, and it's so nice to sort of get to know you. Hopefully we'll get to know some of you at the end of the service as well. But I wondered whether we could look at one particular subject today, and my title is Blessed to be Stressed? Are we supposed to be stressed? And if not, what do we do about it? And I'd love to look at a very short passage, if you'd like to turn to it, which is at the beginning of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. It's just three verses. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. I'll just give you a moment to find that. I think it will come up on the screens as well. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Which is Jesus speaking, and this is what he says. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So about 10 years ago, I was living and studying in Oxford, and I woke up one morning and I couldn't get out of bed. My arms and my legs, my limbs felt incredibly heavy, like there was a weight on them. And my chest particularly felt like there was this huge weight on it. And I was struggling to breathe. And eventually, it sort of passed, and I got up and didn't think about it again. And then it happened again. And I started to talk to someone about it, and eventually it turned out that I was suffering from the effects of stress. Academic stress, family stress, my dad was very ill at the time, and relationship stress. And all those things compounded meant that there were physical consequences to that, physical implications. And I was really worried. I didn't really know that I was stressed, or I wouldn't have been able to tell you that, probably. But my body was telling me that I was. And I was encouraged, in a way, to find out that it's incredibly common. I was doing a bit of research on this. 500,000 people in the UK experience stress at a level that they believe is making them unwell. Last year alone, 11.7 million working days were lost due to stress, anxiety, and depression. And I remember someone saying to me at the time, the biggest impact you will have in your ministry or in your life, whatever your ministry is, your work, will probably be in your 50s, 60s, 70s. But you need to be able to get there to have the impact. Don't kill yourself in the short term, because it's madness. Your impact will be bigger later on. And he said, you've got to avoid burning out. And the question is, how do we avoid it? In the world that we live in, which is so frenetic, how do we avoid burnout? How do we avoid stress? And I came across this prayer while I was thinking about this subject, which says this: Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I cannot accept, and the wisdom to hide the bodies of those who got on my nerves. And the reality is, we are all faced with things that annoy us, stress us out every single day. I don't know what it is that you face at the moment, the pressures that are on you. Pressures at work, maybe. You know, unrealistic deadlines, longer working hours, targets, job insecurity. Maybe it's pressure on finances, you know, credit card bills, debt. Pressures on family life, juggling having a family with work, elderly parents. Maybe pressures at school or university to achieve the top grades. Pressures on relationships, in relationships or to find a relationship. And then all the pressures that sometimes people associate with church, the pressure of feeling like you're not doing enough or that God's not particularly happy with you or you've got to work harder at your whatever it is in church. Pressures there. Pressures all around us. You know, they talk about the biggest pressures being from sickness or moving house. Or riding the tube, or driving in London, or phone calls, emails, or listening to Little Mix, or is that just me? So those are different pressures that we all face. And actually, pressures are normal. They're normal in life. And actually, there's nothing wrong with pressure. In fact, if there was no pressure, we wouldn't do anything. We'd just lie there, you know, not doing anything. Pressure is actually quite good. It motivates us. It gets us going, makes us think about what we can do, what we can achieve. All of those things are actually good. There's nothing wrong with pressure. Pressure is part of life. But stress is how we respond to pressure. Pressure is not going to go away. The question is, how do you respond to the pressure that's put upon you in a way that is healthy and good for you and good for those around you? So, Jesus has something to say on the subject. And that's what he talks about in this passage. And I've got three points, really, from this that I just want to draw out as a way of us beginning to manage the pressures that are on us. So, first of all, is this. Get linked in to Jesus. Get linked in to Jesus. Over New Year, I always try and take a bit of time out, and Jill and I went off on holiday. It's really important part of the sort of keeping going through the year is taking a bit of time out. So we took a bit of time out, went with some friends to Pembrokeshire, and we went walking a little bit along the coast, and we wouldn't see almost anyone all day. And then one day, I think it was even New Year's Day, we came across a guy, a sort of older guy. We started chatting to him, and he was asking me loads of questions, and it was... I was telling him about what I was doing, and he was interested. Turned out that he was a Christian, and he had connections with church, knew about HTB. So we started talking for a while, and he was asking me lots of questions. And eventually, I sort of thought, well, I'll ask you a few questions. So I asked him, you know, what do you do? And he said, you know, I work in business. And then he moved back onto me and asked me lots more questions about me. And was, you know, it was a great subject, but it's a bit weird. I'm joking; it's not a great subject. But it was a bit weird that he didn't really talk about himself, and then he sort of disappeared. A very sort of humble kind of guy. Anyway, I got his name, and because I had his name, I did what we all do when we meet someone, is I Googled him to find out who he was. And it turned out that he used to be a member of the House of Lords and is the chairman of one of the biggest banks in the world. I didn't even mention it. But I loved LinkedIn. Do you know LinkedIn, the professional network? You just find out everything about someone professionally and you just put their name in. And it's a way to connect with people. But actually, if you could connect with anyone, who would you connect with? Jesus. Oh, great. The right answer. Fantastic. I don't know whether who you would, in the world, you would think you would want to connect with. If you could connect with anyone. I don't know, Barack Obama or Donald Trump. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. But if you could connect with Jesus, wouldn't you take that opportunity? And Jesus is saying, actually, the answer to your problems is to connect with me. Get linked in with me. He says, come to me. He doesn't say, go over there. He doesn't give you 10 lists to avoid stress. He says, come to me first and foremost. So get linked in with Jesus. And I was interested. Maybe you're here today and thinking, I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean, get linked in with Jesus, connect to Jesus? Here's a guy who lived 2,000 years ago. I was interested to read an article about the actor Andrew Garfield. I don't know if you've come across him. He was in Spider-Man. Recently, he's in Hacksaw Ridge, which is on at the moment. Recent Martin Scorsese film, Silence, he played a Jesuit priest. And he's from a secular background, but he was asked, what is the most interesting thing about researching for the role of this Catholic priest? And he said this, falling in love with Jesus Christ. And he said that he encountered, as he read about Jesus, it's like he encountered Jesus. He said this person of Jesus jumped off the page. It was like he encountered him. And that's what many people describe. Maybe against their better judgment is meeting Jesus. As they read the pages of the New Testament, they realize that actually it might be true, that Jesus might really be alive and able to meet you. So maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not sure about this. That's why Colin was talking about running Alpha, and there are lots of groups like that. Question, I saw that thing about the big why thing going on at St. Mary's. There are lots of places that you can explore that question of who Jesus is. But Jesus says, come to me. What difference does it make to come to Jesus? Well, here's a couple of things. One, physically, God thinks your body is important. Often we think church is all about spirituality and the spirit, and actually everything else is not right. Well, that's not the way that Jesus dealt with things. I mean, let's think about it. God gave you a body. He created you in his image, and he's given you a body. So he thinks it's important. More than that, Jesus came in physical form and had a human body. He thought bodies were valuable. In fact, he healed people's bodies. He thought they were so valuable. And then he rose from the dead bodily. The resurrection is a bodily resurrection. So God thinks bodies are really important. Looking after your body is really key because it's something that God has given you. So it's not unspiritual to think I need to get rest and eat well and sleep well and take time out and look after yourself. In fact, that's looking after the body that God has given you. Now, a lot of people say the common thing that people talk about today is that your body is a temple. You go to a lot of, you know, classes or whatever, people will say, you know, your body is a temple. Now, that is worshipping the body. And that's not what God encourages us to do. In fact, we're to worship God, but not our bodies. We shouldn't idolize the body, but we should look after it. Because actually, what it says in Scripture is your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, in where God dwells. So look after your body because the Holy Spirit lives in you. But not just physically, Jesus transforms things emotionally as well, mentally. Sabbath was God's idea. Sabbath is the concept of taking, you know, a day off in the week, but it's more of a principle of rest. We work and then we rest. We work and then we rest. Now, I am terrible at taking days off. And one of the things that's been good about getting married is Jill regularly tells me I have to take a day off. And I've realized that she's made a difference. Sort of mentally, emotionally, I feel better. And the great thing about time off is it's all about relationships. We invest in relationships and we need one another. In fact, all the studies about stress and relieving stress say that the biggest help, human terms, is to have connections with one or two people, having a place where you can connect, get to know people, be honest. How many places can you be honest in your life and say what's going on? So 8 years ago, we had an Alpha course. The first Alpha that I'd been involved in at HTB, and different people turn up and you don't know who they're going to be, and everyone sat down and sits in a circle, and everyone's a bit awkward because no one knows each other, and you try and make conversation, but I tend to look around the group and think, well, you know, I probably won't get on with any of these people. I mean, you know, no offense, but I don't think I'm particularly going to get on with them. And then they're probably thinking the same about me, and no one's quite sure. There was one particular guy, Nigel, who sat next to me, and I thought, you know, lovely guy, but I don't think we're going to be friends. And by the end of the course, we'd become incredibly good friends. So much so that we decided to set up a little home group. We invited other people to join it. He became a Christian on that course. Other people did. They joined our group. And that group now, we've been meeting for 8 years. And we meet every other Tuesday in someone's home. We have food. We talk about what's going on. And then we pray. And it's pretty basic. We actually do quite a lot of chatting and a little bit of praying. But we're trying to enlarge that praying bit. Anyway, the important thing is that you get to be yourself. And a couple of weeks ago, we had our meeting and we all said, you know, what's going on? And people, you know, sort of say, oh, I'm fine. And after a while, they say, well, actually, no, I'm not that fine. And, you know, I've got a real problem with our future plans. I don't know what's going to go on. Someone else, you know, it's finances that are challenging. Someone else, it's a family issue. And it's such a release to talk about what's really going on. And I know you guys have got great groups here that you run, but I'd encourage you, if you're not in one of those groups, join a group where you can be known, where you can get to know other people. It will help. A few years ago, I went another. It was another New Year trip, and I went with a few friends to I think it was Cornwall. Yeah, we went to Cornwall, and we went to a little cottage. And I was really excited because these are all friends that I know really well, and they're all Christians. And I thought I'll relax, enjoy it. It was a busy time, Christmas. So we got to this house, and as I walked up into the house, someone introduced me to their new boyfriend. And they said, this is Jules. He's not a Christian. In fact, he's a philosopher, and he runs the London Philosophy Club, which is the biggest philosophy club in the world. And he's really looking forward to talking to you about religion. I thought, great. So, I mean, I obviously was very friendly to Jules. Great to see him. But inside, I was thinking, that I was hoping for a holiday. And anyway, we got into all these conversations, and every single meal he'd ask me these questions, philosophical questions, and I would try my best to answer, and I don't think I did very well. And at the end of it, we sort of got chatting, and he said, you know, it's very interesting hearing your point of view, sort of brackets, I wasn't convinced by any of it. And then I said, oh, okay, and he said, but the thing is, what I have discovered on this holiday is that I have never seen a group of people who love each other so much. He said, my philosophy club, people come, discuss, and then they leave. No one cares about anyone else. But here, you really care about each other. And he said, I want to know what's going on. So I sort of said, well, you probably don't want to come, and you're probably too busy, but do you want to come to Alpha? And he said, yeah, that sounds great. What is Alpha? You know, I told him about it, and he came along. He had an amazing experience. In fact, in the group, he got to know these people. He had an amazing experience of the Holy Spirit. And the thing that really struck me is that we need each other. We need friendship, and there's something powerful about that community. It helps sustain us and carry us on. And then spiritually, you know, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your souls. Nowhere else can you get rest for your soul. You can do all these other things everywhere else. You can meet people. You can do all these things, health and all that sort of stuff. But Jesus is the only one who says, I'll give you rest for your soul, the deepest part of you. You can have forgiveness. You can experience all your guilt being taken away. You can experience life in all its fullness. You can know that you are a child of God. These are the things that Jesus offers. And so he says, come to me. St. Augustine, probably the greatest theologian of the church, said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. We can be so busy trying to do things, but we are restless until we come to Jesus. He's the only one that can satisfy. So I'd encourage you to do that, to get linked in to Jesus. Maybe for the first time today, you can do that. Or maybe, again, it's reconnecting with Jesus. Secondly, become his apprentice. Become his apprentice. Now, I don't know how many of you have watched The Apprentice. In America, it had Donald Trump. Over here, it's Alan Sugar. And the concept is that if you win, you get to be the apprentice of Donald Trump, or I think it's now Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think they've changed it. Anyway, you get to be their apprentice in their business. Now, the concept of an apprentice is that you watch someone do what they do, and then you learn from them. And you kind of work with them, and then you copy them, and you learn by doing. Now, if you could be anyone's apprentice in the world at the moment, who would you choose? It doesn't have to be Jesus. Who would you choose to be an apprentice to? I don't know, be it Theresa May, or would it be Beyonce, or would it be Nick Knowles from DIY SOS? That's my one. I don't know what it would be. Who would it be? Henry Kendall. Very good answer. Well done. Well done, Colin. But it's interesting, isn't it, the idea of apprenticeship, because you get to hang around with that person all the time. And Jesus is here saying, you can be my apprentice. I'm inviting you to not just approach me and then leave again, but to follow me and see how I do my life. And if there's anyone who had to deal with pressure, it was Jesus. Think about the pressure that he was under. Pressure from family, religious pressure, temptation, death threats, betrayal. He suffered pressure. So if there's anyone who knows how to deal with it, it must be him. So how did he deal with it? Well, he says here in this passage two things. He says, come to me because I am gentle and humble. He's saying the key to dealing with stress is to be gentle and humble. Is that a good answer? I'm not sure that's a very good answer. I want you to tell me how to have stamina and strength. I want you to tell me how to have confidence and courage. Jesus says, no, I want you to learn how to be gentle and humble. Why? Because the opposite of gentle and humble is aggressive and arrogant. And both of those make us stressed. If you're aggressive, the aggressive is like, I am going to sort this out right now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to send off that email to that person who really annoyed me at work. It's just going to go. You know, I'm in the car. I'm aggressive. I'm going to try and make things happen. Because you're trying to do it all, and you think that I'm going to do it. And your stress levels go up. And Jesus is saying, no, be gentle. Gentle sounds a bit weak, doesn't it? No one thinks, oh, you know, I want to be really gentle. Well, maybe they do, but it's not a particularly sexy thing to be, is it? Gentle. But I think what's interesting is the word in Greek is the word of a wild horse that has been tamed. Its strength, huge strength, but under control. And actually, when you meet people who are gentle, they're not a pushover, but they are strong but under control. And that's what Jesus was. He had huge power. Think of the power that he had under his control. And yet the way he dealt with people was so gentle, free from stress. I think partly because he knew his Father. He knew what was going on. He was reliant on the Spirit. And then the other one is arrogance. Arrogance says, I'm in charge. I do things my way and I know best. Thank you very much. It's trying to say, well, you know, God, fair enough, but I'm going to go and do things my way. But actually, that causes stress as well. The opposite is humility. And humility is so attractive. If you meet someone who is humble, you might not shout from the rooftops, but it's so attractive. And my observation is the most humble people are the most secure people. They're people who are not trying to prove anything or like say, look at me. They're the people who know who they are. And Jesus is the one that gives us that identity to know who we are. And then you can be humble and gentle and the stress levels reduce. So Jesus, the way that he puts it is verse 29. He says, learn from me, become my apprentice, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Or as the message puts it, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. What rhythm do you listen to? If you're anything like me, you check Facebook and Instagram and Twitter a few times a day, and you're listening to the rhythms of everyone else's life. You're basically thinking, oh, I should be doing a bit more of this, a bit more of that, all this sort of stuff. Have you ever tried dancing to two rhythms at once? It's quite difficult. I mean, I don't do it regularly, but I'm sure it's quite difficult. Imagine trying to dance to salsa, drum and bass, and R&B at once. It'd be impossible. It'd be exhausting as well. But actually, we have all these rhythms that are coming in our ears every single day. And Jesus says, don't dance to all these different rhythms. Just dance to my rhythm. Just listen to the unforced rhythms of grace. That's the way to have peace. And his rhythms, what were the rhythms that Jesus had in his life? Prayer. He said to his disciples, come away with me, pray. The scriptures. Quoted from the scriptures, meditated on the scriptures, you know, the temptations. He quoted from the scriptures. Why? Because he had been reading them. I think he'd just been reading that particular passage that morning. But if we read the scriptures, we see what Jesus is like and we can be his apprentice. And then worship. I texted one of my friends who's in my home group and I said, to everyone in our home group and said, what are the stresses and pressures that you deal with at the moment and how do you deal with them? And my friend Emma texted back straight away and said, right this minute, traffic is enemy number one. How do I deal with it? Using the horn. Other stresses are children not behaving, workloads, cracks appearing in walls, fear of not having enough money, and terrorists. How do I deal with them? Merlot, laughter, walks in Wimbledon Common, avoiding the tube, and slamming on the worship loud, loud, loud. I don't know if you've ever tried that. Putting on the worship music instead of whatever else is. I mean, you know, you don't have to listen to that all the time and be really holy, but now and again, you just sort of think, that is going to change my mood. I need to refocus on Jesus. So that's what Jesus did. Copy him. It's not a bad idea. Become his apprentice. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And then thirdly, go into business with Jesus. You know what happens in The Apprentice? The apprentice takes on this person and then they go into business together. Same on Dragon's Den, if you've ever watched that. They try and get the money from the dragons, they get the money, and then, but this is the thing that's much more important, is that the dragon says, I will come and help you with your business. You gain so much more from that expertise than actually the investment. And Jesus is saying here, go into business with me. This is how he puts it, verse 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is how the Message puts it. Walk with me and work with me. I wonder what your work is. What do you spend most of your time doing? Maybe it's in an office, maybe it's at home, maybe it's study. That is the bit that we often think, well, God's not so concerned about that. What he's concerned about is right here, right now. But actually Jesus is saying the opposite. He's saying, work with me. Whatever you're doing in your work, do it with me. Don't do it independently from me. I want to be involved. So a yoke has, in this sense, nothing to do with eggs. This is, we've got a little picture, I think, that's going to come up. But it's basically when we have two oxen, and the two oxen are joined together by a piece of wood. And Jesus was a carpenter. He would have probably made this piece of wood that connected these two oxen. He'd been very familiar with it. And so he says, there we go, we've got a picture here. Those are two oxen yoked together. Now, whenever I've read this passage before in the past, I sort of thought, he says, come to me and I will put this thing on you. And I thought, I don't want anything else. I'm stressed and pressured enough. Is it? I don't want you to put something on me. Why would you do that? But actually what he's saying is, I don't want to make it harder. I want to make it easier. The idea of an oxen and the yoke is that the two help together. So what he's saying is don't become a sole trader. Don't become a single business, but go into partnership with me. Let's do work together. Let's do life together. And that is such a relief. You don't have to do your life on your own anymore. You don't have to do your work on your own. Jesus says, I want to be involved in every single thing that you do. Take my yoke upon you. And his yoke is easy and it's light. And I think two things happen when you do that. One, you get an eternal perspective. You know, we tend to think that we've got to do everything yesterday. We've got to work so hard at the deadline. And obviously, in work, there are deadlines to get done. But actually, having an eternal perspective changes things, particularly when you're going through a hard time. So I've got a friend, George Haddo, who set up a property business. He's now based in Piccadilly. They're doing quite well. It's him and his business partner, and they're both Christians. And I had lunch with him the other day, and I said to him, George, how do you deal with stress? You must be so stressed in work. And he said, yeah, you know, sometimes there's a lot of pressure. But he said, we've got this motto in our company, when things are looking bad, is this. They always say to each other, it's not the last move. In other words, this is not the end of the story. Things might look pretty bad at the moment, but this is not the last move. This is not the end. Because God has an eternal perspective. There is always another part to the story. And maybe you're in a situation like that at the moment. Maybe in work, in finances, relationship, you're thinking, I don't know how to get out of this situation. I believe Jesus is saying, this is not the last move. This is not the end of the story. God's perspective is eternal. But also, his power is total. He is sovereign. He's in control. And most of the time, we are sort of, you know, we're given free will to do whatever we want to do. But there's this strange thing that we're given free will. But God says, ultimately, you know, I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. So you can trust me with it. And again, another friend I met up with, Sarge, who works in the city, in banking. And he is under serious pressure. And I said to him at New Year, I said, how is your work going? How are you dealing with the pressure? He said, well, before Christmas, I was really suffering. But after Christmas, it's been fine. And I said, well, is there any less work? And he said, no. I said, well, what's changed? He said, I read this one verse over Christmas, and it totally changed my perspective. And this is the verse. It was Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, when I read that, I thought, oh, it's not me. All authority in heaven and on earth has not been given to Sarge. It's been given to Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is ultimately in control. And that means we can relax. You know, there are so many things that you could be doing with your life. There are so many needs. If you look around the world, there are so many needs. There are so many things you could do, but you can't do all of them. And Jesus says, just do the things that I've called you to do and don't do any more. Doing more is going to cause you stress. Just do what I've called you to do. And I guess the question to me and to all of us is, do we know what God has called us to do? In your workplace, in your family, he is calling you to deal with, you know, there is pressure, but don't do more than that. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn to give stuff over to him that is not your responsibility. And I love what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther, incredibly hard worker, the reformer, very busy man, but he was asked why, what he was sitting drinking, having a drink. And he said this, while I sit and drink my glass of Wittenberg beer, the gospel carries on. In other words, I don't have to do everything. I'm called to do my bit, but I'm also called to relax and trust God with the rest. So whatever you're facing at the moment, I'd encourage you to do these three things. Come to Jesus. Get linked into him again. Become his apprentice. Learn how he does it. Copy him. And most importantly, go into business with Jesus. Don't do your life on your own. Don't shoulder the burden on your own. God's saying, I want to help you. I'm right by your side. Just give it to me and we'll do it together. This is how the message puts this passage. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. Should we stand and let's pray together?